This is in the news for December 29th, 2005. I'm Scott Berguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from Common Dreams News Center and from Agence France-Presse, dated December 27th. Greenpeace WWF slam Moscow over toxic slick environment. Russia's authorities have come under fire from two prominent ecology groups for the quote-unquote pathetic response to a toxic slick that entered Russia's Amur River after an industrial accident in neighboring China. Greenpeace and global conservation group WWF, or World Wildlife Fund, said in a joint statement, quote, "This accident allowed us to check Russia's readiness for action in case of ecological catastrophe, and it proved that the many years of reform within the Environment Protection Services led to pathetic results. The fairly effective system of State Ecology Committee has ceased to exist. The agencies that replaced it have very limited authority, insufficient staff, and poor material and financial resources," end quote. Greenpeace and WWF claimed that Russia's authorities had disregarded long-standing warnings from local environmentalists about the danger of pollution entering the Amur from connected Chinese waterways. The ecology activist said, quote, "Unfortunately, so far it is only the Khabarovsk regional government that is showing the will to act, but it has no authority or resources to act to solve the problems of the Amur, which is a river of federal importance," end quote. Russia's federal authorities mainly concentrated their efforts on the short-term consequences of the slick as it passed through settlements, such as the city of Khabarovsk, the activist said, adding that there was no evidence of attempts by federal officials to address the ecological damage. The ecology group said there was also a lack of information about the slick, which was originally thought to consist of benzene and nitrobenzene, but was later found to contain chloroform, chlorobenzene, xylol, and other chloric elements. Greenpeace and WWF suggested Russia set up a joint inquiry with Chinese and Mongolian experts and a monitoring system to analyze the Amur River. The statement said, quote, "The main problem is the lack of an ecological control system. Russia has no federal agency capable of handling ecological problems, both in crisis and on the daily basis. There are no structures capable of holding international ecological policy in dealing with neighboring states," end quote. The slick is due to reach the next major town on the river, Komsomolsk na Amur, and its 400,000 inhabitants on January 5th, and then flow into the Okhotsk Sea. Much of the benzene that originally entered the river is thought by experts long since to have dissipated, but nitrobenzene, an oily, colorless, or pale yellow liquid with a characteristic smell of bitter almonds, whose effects on people range wildly from drowsiness to death, and which can affect fertility and liver functions, could still be present in high quantities, officials say. The authorities decided Saturday there was no danger to people, and the emergency committee handling the crisis was closed. Again, that's from Agence France-Presse, dated December 27th, and from commondreams.org. Next up, from Media Matters, a press release from them from last week, actually, December 23rd. Media Matters for America, you can contact them at 202-756-4124. This is a release on stated Media Matters for America bestows Misinformer of the Year award on Chris Matthews, host of MSNBC's Hardball, played softball with Bush in 2005 and distorted facts on national TV. This statement reads, Media Matters for America announced the winner of its 2005 Misinformer of the Year award after much deliberation and a thorough and somewhat painful review of the many distortions, false statements, and instances of misinformation we have corrected during the year. MSNBC's Chris Matthews takes home the prize. In 2005, Matthews called the majority of his fellow Americans, quote, real whack jobs, end quote, praised a speech by President Bush as, quote, unquote, brilliant, even before it was delivered, said that Bush sometimes, quote, glimmers with sunny nobility, end quote, and gushed at having his picture taken with the president, adding that Bush, quote, belongs on Mount Rushmore, end quote. Matthews made false claims about Democrats, former Ambassador Joseph C. Wilson IV, Iraq elections, Catholics, and the Iraqi insurgency, and he derided people with sneering insults, calling them witchy and thimblewits. Those were quotes. Last year, we named Bill O'Reilly the Misinformer of the Year. O'Reilly remained true to his roots and continued to spread conservative misinformation in 2005, said David Brock, president and CEO of Media Matters. He continued, quote, however, Chris Matthews is viewed by many as a trustworthy source of information, which makes his egregious statements and inaccuracies even more astonishing. We will continue to monitor Matthew's shows and point out every instance of conservative misinformation, end quote. Matthews, host of NBC's Hardball with Chris Matthews and NBC's syndicated program The Chris Matthews Show, is a former presidential speechwriter and congressional staffer, a best-selling author, and recipient of the Washington Post's Crystal Ball Award for his successful predictions of U.S. presidential elections. In addition, he can now claim the title of 2005 Misinformer of the Year. Media Matters is a media watchdog group, and again, you can find them, or you can call them, let's put it that way. You can call them at 202-756-4124. Our final story today is from the latest issue of High Country News, dated December 26th. This is a companion or sidebar article on a larger article called A New Green Revolution, written by Sam Western. And again, it's in High Country News at www.hcn.org. The sidebar issue is titled Universities Lag on Organics. David Oyne of Timeless Seeds has an immediate reaction when asked if the soils and agricultural departments at state universities have been helpful to organic farmers. No. He continued, but then again, the average conventional wheat farmer would say the same thing, he says. Institutions are behind the curve. It's not their job to lead. Their job is research. He went on to say, quote, they are very sensitive to politics. That's what happens when you have an institution that has to beg the legislature for money, end quote. While the legislature provides some funding, companies such as Dow, Syngenta, and Monsanto fund most of the agricultural research that is done at land-grant universities. These companies aren't interested in alternative farming methods, says Bruce Maxwell, a Montana State University weed ecologist who is currently leading a study comparing organic and conventional grain production. Quote, I've had letters to my dean asking for my resignation. They, people in the industry, said I had no business promoting organic agriculture. They're threatened by it, and they should be, end quote. Organic agriculture offers farmers a way out from under the companies that profit from industrial farming methods, so perhaps it's no surprise that, according to the Santa Cruz-based Organic Farming Research Foundation, only about 450 of the 885,863 available research acres in the land-grant system are devoted to certified organic research. Nor is it surprising that no land-grant colleges offer an undergraduate degree in organic agriculture. Montana State has done a better job than most, according to Perry Miller, an associate professor there who specializes in diversified cropping systems. In 2005, Miller and his colleagues received a $471,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to study dryland organic crop agriculture, including crop rotation and how to best control weeds. The university has also dedicated 5 acres of its main research facility in Bozeman to organic production. Says Miller, quote, don't underestimate that development. The department took that 5 acres away from someone else and gave it to us. That's a good sign, end quote. MSU currently offers no classes focusing on organic or alternative agriculture, however. Says Robert Bocher, a longtime organic farmer from Big Sandy, Montana, quote, we need those classes. There's a lot of misinformation out there on organic agriculture. They think it's a bunch of hippies, part of the 1960s. It isn't that anymore. We can talk till we're blue in the face, but doing it at a land-grant university gives us credibility, end quote. Ultimately, it may be the students who decide whether organics become a part of the university curriculum. Miller said, quote, one of the few areas we're seeing intense student interest is in sustainable and organic agriculture. We need to serve those students. Again, that's written by Sam Western in the latest issue of High Country News at www.hcn.org. And again, it comes from a larger article on a new green revolution talking about organic agriculture and sustainable agriculture in Montana as an alternative for farmers and ranchers in that state and others. This has been In the News for December 29th, 2005. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'll talk to you next time.